Is Danny coming?
No. Just you three.
I guess he didn't give us a reason this week, but no, he never mentioned anything.
So, but
I asked him. He told me he was going to be there.
We didn't get a note. No one else got a note.
That's weird. Yeah.
That's fucking weird.
That was probably a PM, yo.
But yeah, I'll leave some of this in for a pre-show, but you actually want to redo the intro then?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Unless Jammer wants to walk all over me again.
Let's do this.
Never.
No, we're good. Hello, and welcome to Breaking Geek Real, the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast of LRM Online and the Genreverse Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sir Jonesiest, and on this week's podcast, we got a trio of clowns. We got the Nick Dolls, and we got the Joseph Jammer Medinas. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Hey-o, the three lads are back. Trying for some geekdom.
I like your NPR voice. Were you practicing that? Feels like
I am
were.
Practicing.
This is Terry Gross.
I'm actually auditioning.
Welcome to Fresh Air. For your thoughts.
Welcome to Fresh Air. We've got Kyle Malone on the ones and twos. Hi, Kyle.
What's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. On this week's podcast, we're talking about the lattes. Are they too hot? I don't know. Is that what they talk about on Fresh
That's
Air?
That's very controversial. I think it's funny. So I remember back when my wife, she was getting her PhD. And I think they were talking about interviewing for some reason, and they mentioned, "Oh, the host of Fresh Terry Gross, right from Fresh Air."
Yeah, Terry Gross.
Oh, she's a great interviewer. I listen to interviews. No, she's not. She's terrible. I don't like her.
What's wrong with Terry Gross? Let's not bring controversy onto this podcast.
Yeah,
it's
sorry.
NPR.
I don't know.
Next thing is Bob Ross is terrible, along with Mr. Rogers.
Since I started paying for streaming services, you know what I don't do? Listen to NPR.
What is streaming services?
YouTube Music or Spotify or Apple Music or anything like that.
Do you have Audible? All of those?
Listen, my finances aren't on trial here.
And he has a smart Tesla.
Aren't those the
so
same
he can play
service
that in his car?
Replicated? What does one bring that the others don't?
You know what happened? I was on one, and then Joe Rogan was on another, so I had to leave that one to go to another one.
Hey, I did that.
No, I'm just fucking around. I didn't do that.
You're making fun of me because I mentioned I did that.
What? That would imply I listened to the show.
No, we've had this conversation.
I guess maybe I did listen to the show. I did listen to the episode. Anyway, speaking of the show, we have a show. We're going to talk about some things. We've got a review to do. We're going to talk about Creed Tree. Trey? Creed Trey? The third Creed. Is this the ninth Rocky movie? Can you call it a Rocky movie?
It's the Rocky movie, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, it's the ninth one.
It's crazy. And then we're also going to talk about some Star Trek news. We're going to do those in reverse order from what I said. So, two of us are certified Star Trek fans. Certified? Certified. And one of us is like, what would you call yourself, Jammer? Are you familiar?
I'm a Star Trek.
Are you an adjacent?
He's a JJ.
Adjacent.
Are you a Q?
Yeah. I like the JJ movies, well, mostly, and I like I have some exposure to some Discovery, like the first season of Discovery, which I enjoyed, and then also I like some of the original series episodes just for shits and giggles because they're fun, and that's about it. You know, I can't say I'm enthusiastic, but I appreciate the fandom behind it.
Okay, well then I'll you appreciate myself and Nick Dahl.
Yeah. We have reversed the order.
What do you mean?
Well, we gave Kyle. That is fine.
How do we reverse the order? We said we're going to do the...
We're going to do a review.
Oh, we're going to do the review
Creed
first?
Story.
We're going to do the review first?
My That's bad. What we've been we doing.
Let's do it. All right. You know what? I've been gone for a while. Let's do it the new way. We'll do it. We'll do it the new way. We're going to do some Creed first.
Let's do it
We'll do it live. So we've got Creed 3. This is Michael B. Jordan's directorial debut. And it's a doozy, right? It is the third film in the Creed franchise. And we'll see how it goes. I've got some Twitter thoughts. You all have some Twitter thoughts. So let's get to them. Creed 3 is a film that on Rotten Tomatoes, as of last viewing, is a 87. Did it come down?
86%.
So
with a 96% audience score.
Here's what's funny about that. When I first looked at this, I saw this on a Wednesday night. It was like at a 91%. And I was like, holy shit, this movie must be great. It is not, in fact, a 91. by any stretch of the imagination. It is not a 96. But you know, we'll see how that goes. So it is nice to see that the score is normalizing. I think when I did look at the tomato meter, it was at 100 score. So now we're at 168 reviews from certified reviewers. So that's interesting, but we'll get into it and see what you guys think. I'm sorry. Okay. Twitter thoughts. So I'm going to give my Twitter review of Creed 3. Not as good as the first two. It is buoyed by strong performances by Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors. And while it is apparent that as a director, he understands the franchise in some respects, it is apparent that Michael B. Jordan can't bring the emotional heft that was present in some of the best outings of this franchise to tie this one together. So while I did like this film and wanted to love it, I did not. And if this is the end of the Creed franchise, I'm okay with that. But apparently it's not.
So, hell no.
Hell no.
It's okay.
It was that was a long, long Twitter review, but
it was. It was like that was one of those pictures that people take of their iPhone notes and then just put on Twitter.
You know what that was? That was like a mastodon. What do they call mastodons? It's not a tweet. What do they do?
I don't know, man. I tried mastodon. I got so confused and gave up.
What? I've never heard of that.
I got confused.
You've never heard of mastodon? All right. Well, maybe one day. Anyway, Jammer, give me your mastodon.
My mastodon is, do you like the Rocky series? If you like Rocky movies, you'll probably like this. Whether or not you'll love it or like it a little bit less than the others, mileage may vary. Overall, I enjoyed it quite a bit, but there's more nuance to come in my more extended thoughts. I enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked it a lot. But I can see where you're coming from and kind of agree, but we'll dig more into that later.
You know, you had a tweet and it just kept on going. And
we
you turned into a mastodon.
I was going to say, you asked for a mastodon.
No, no, I was saying you had a tweet and you just kept on going. You turned it into a trunk, baby. You turned it into a mastodon trunk or whatever they call them. I don't know.
No, they're trunks. I mean, they're basically elephants.
They call them trunks? No, no, but what do they call them? I'm going to have to look that up.
The mastodons? Mastodons don't talk last time I checked.
No, the company that has the thing, you know.
Two mastodons, the animals called them.
Yeah. No, no. The website.
No,
that's what Jammer said. He's like, what do mastodons call them? I don't know.
Hold on.
What does
According to the first result in Google, which came from Hootsuite, mastodons are called toots.
Yeah, actually, I was about to say toots because they're like.
So do we believe the owls about what mastodons do?
Gizmodo, toot. Is retired. It's new.
Seems
a version of the tweet. So no longer are they calling it toot. That's as of November 15th, 2022.
On see, you become a little popular and you
what
fucking
now?
Sell out.
What are they now?
It doesn't say.
I like trunks.
No, trunks is stupid.
No, developing
No, it doesn't seem that they've got necessarily something.
You got to have a thing.
Yeah. Anyway,
we don't need to know it right now, though.
So they should call them chirps.
Move on.
Nick Dahl. Let me hear your trunk. Chirp.
Had a good one, but was lost in my brain as we talked. As someone who's never seen a single Rocky or Creed movie,
where have you been?
Yeah, I know.
Not
I
watching
excited.
Sports movies because these are still sports movies, despite what you guys say.
No one ever said it wasn't a sports movie. Creed
every time
3,
I bring up something like Miracle or Creed or something, you guys are like, "Oh, those aren't really sports movies." They're
I've never said that.
To
no
you.
One's ever said that. That's
do you
all
podcast
in
your dreams with like imaginary versions of us? Because that's
basically what
happened.
That is. That's basically slander.
It's libel. Well, it's not written.
It's not libel.
That's my favorite Spider-Man line.
You learn nothing from. Yeah, I was gonna say.
He's like, you learn nothing from Spider-Man.
That's my first.
There was one
Rocky
lesson.
Movie.
Just one.
My dad used to love that line. He's a reporter. Was a reporter. I really enjoyed it. I felt a lot was lost emotionally, including one storyline that wasn't paid off whatsoever. That was brought up early in the film, but
no,
Michael
right.
B. Jordan Not Michael B. Jordan. Jonathan Majors gives it an entire extra letter bump.
Man, you're not lucky letter it's not bump. Black History Month anymore.
I don't care. Jonathan Majors is my Pedro now. He's like, I was watching him. I'm like, this guy's the shit. I'm gonna watch Devotion
every single time he was on screen in this movie, I was thinking like fucking Martin Scorsese style cinema. That's literally what I was thinking whenever he was on screen. Like no.
So
joke.
Here's the thing: this is the second time within a month he has elevated a film beyond what it deserves.
Yeah, and he's gonna take the number one spot from himself.
Admittedly, there was a story beat though that the whole time it was going, I was like, I hope they don't do this. And they did it. And it actually brought the film down substantially for me because I think there could have been a lot more.
So let's find out what that is. So before we go into spoilers, let's do letter grades. Jammer, what's yours?
I'll give it a B+. I really enjoy it. I think there's a lot there. I think it's very competent, solid filmmaking. As I mentioned, I thought cinema whenever he was on screen, whenever Jonathan Majors was on screen, it wasn't just his performance. I think there's a lot about the script that was pretty solid as well. The character work.
So when I said, give me your letter grade.
Oh,
and you're like, I'm going to give another review of the film.
Sorry. B+.
So wait, no. Let's review the tape. I was like, hey.
Yeah, you're right.
Before we go into spoilers, give me your letter grade.
You're right.
Chandler's B+. Like, you know what? Okay.
B+.
Nicholas Dalius.
B- with Jonathan Majors. Any other actor, it would have been a C+.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm going to go solid B. So we got a cluster of reviews in the same generalish region.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Find out why when we go into spoilers. It's a jammer.
Happening now on NPR.
Talk about your on not fresh air. This isn't fresh air. We have to think of something. This is not fresh air.
Well, that's why I named our show Breaking Creative the Podcast. It's because they're like they're on there and you can like listen to this radio show as a podcast.
Did you say Breaking Creed?
Aha. Breaking Geek Radio, but no. Breaking Creed. Oh, that would be a good name for the episode. We already have
one. Jammer, your spoiler thoughts, please.
My spoiler thoughts. So throughout this, honestly, the first half of the movie for me was nearly perfect. I loved the first half of the movie. And
first half end for you?
Well, I'll tell you in a second.
So I can contextualize.
It ends after Damien beats what's his name in the ring.
The Mexican Felix. Guy.
Felix. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Felix. Felix has a name. You're lucky. Man.
I was trying to remember what it was. After around the time he beats Felix in the ring is when I think.
No, I was making fun of Nick Dahl.
Yeah, it's the Mexican
like
J.K. guy.
Rowling. Yeah, the black person in the room, J.K. Rowling. That's how she describes characters.
He's from Mexico. Sorry. He wears the Mexican flag on his shorts.
And in his mouth.
But he also has a name.
And in his mouth. I noticed that.
So that's around the halfway point. And the reason why I didn't like it is I thought Jonathan Majors, Damien, brought in a whole lot of nuance. Like there's so much there to unpack. It's just like he's this guy whose life was torn from him because he was defending a friend from, you know, an abuser, for lack of a better term. And it was seeing basically, as he mentioned, his life played out in front of him, what could have been, and never having gotten that chance. And I really like how he was sort of played in that first half, where it's like, the clock is ticking. I have to have my chance. I really just have to have it. And I liked him as this guy who was just like, he would do whatever he had to do to get it. But he was almost, in a way, I'm trying to think of how to portray this. Like when he was doing those
illegal,
I guess, more
punches,
illegal punches or the elbows and stuff. Like, I preferred the idea that it was, yeah, he was doing it, but at the same time, it was him like just really desperately trying to reach out and grab what was stolen from him at all costs. And I really like that moment at the end when he was winning and he's like, hey, hey. And he's like sharing the belts to like to Creed, showing like, hey, look at this. I did it. I did it. I liked that idea. And the whole time I was thinking, God damn it. I hope he wasn't responsible for Ivan Drago getting injured. Because then yep. all of a sudden he becomes this guy who's like, it all went according to plan the entire time and starts becoming mustache twirling. And I get the Rocky franchise's need to villainize the villains to make the villains villainous. But to me, that just stole a lot of nuance from that character and made him a lot less interesting. I kind of started to try to come around to it later in the second half when I was thinking, well, his life was stolen from him, he would do anything at all costs, but it just felt still too I didn't like it. Would have preferred if they were braver with him as a character and just made him as literally that broken guy who really just wants what he's been wanting his entire life and maybe just stumbles too far over the line in order to get it. So that's what was really lost for me in that moment in the movie. But overall, I think still really solid action. Great direction, but just that thing kind of, I feel like, unraveled a lot of aspects of the movie for me.
Impressively good direction, right? At least for me, because again, for this to be the first movie that if you told me this was the first time directorial debut of somebody, I would not believe it, right? Yeah. Like this was.
By the way, I have to also point out, because my boy, Michael B. Jordan, that anime loving dude, got cut. Well, he name dropped great shows. He name dropped, of course, Dragon Ball Z, which that was present in the one shot where they punch each other simultaneously. That was pulled directly from the Frieza saga. It was great. Mm-hmm. Then there was, no, he lifted that. Nick, you're rolling your eyes.
I know. That.
Don't roll your eyes at me, you Star Trek.
I'm rolling my eyes about anime in general. It's like, oh, wow, two people punched each other at the same time. That's so anime.
Okay, it is stylistically.
I know. And then you mentioned that, and I could notice.
There was there's a couple other aspects. So he also name dropped Hajime no Ippo, which is one of my favorites. I love Hajime no Ippo. It's one of those shows that has its problems because literally 90% of it is internal monologue, but it's still really engaging to watch. It's about this kid who gets bullied, and then he basically learns boxing, and then it has like 1,000+ chapters of him just slowly rising through the ranks. Like, it's literally just like broken up. It's like it's building up to this fight, and then the fight happens, building up to the next fight.
You and your long ass manga sagas, Jesus.
I haven't read the manga because it hasn't been translated into English, and I don't like reading scans. All right, but the anime came out when one of it came out, like the first 80 episodes or something came out like the early 2000s. Then they had a sequel series in like the early 2010s, which is great. But anyways, there are a couple shots that were pulled from it. And that's when he punched, I think it was Damien in the stomach, or it was maybe the other way around. And then you see the back,
that was Creed getting punched.
That was literally pulled from.
That's when he went down right before the count.
That's when they almost got him down.
Hajime no Ippo does that shot all the time where you do that. And then you usually see like a sonic boom, like from the back and the sweat coming off. And then some of the extreme physicality that Damien had where he was going like it was really extreme. It's not what you would actually see in boxing. It was like played up for visuals. That's some shit straight out of Hajime no Ippo. Like there's this one guy, he would have his arm like this and would go like, and it became this whole weird thing.
You'd
like
jerk
those
off.
Physical aspects. I feel like he brought into the movie that aren't realistic, but they're really fun to watch.
Okay. So I'm going to jump in. I agree with you in some respects. I really liked the style that he took with the boxing. Like we said, this is the ninth movie in this franchise over, you know, how many decades. And what I loved was, I feel like the Creed franchise has done a good job of, even among the three, distinguishing those fight styles. So like with Ryan Coogler, you did this great, like one continuous shot in a fight. And so that was great and dynamic. With Stephen Cable Jr., you got to see just like bone crushing, hard hitting punches in Creed 2. And in this one, they brought like this very dynamic anime style, not just from the hits, but like the way they would look at each other and the way they would zero in on like, yeah. okay, here's your weakness.
When he like, here yeah, is,
yeah,
exactly.
Here's the part where you're slow injured. Motion. Like, and I loved it. I loved that stuff. What frustrated me about this movie was, I don't know if this is the same emotional beat that Nick was talking about. So it didn't bother me so much that Damien turned out to be the mustache twirling thing, because I felt like it fit with what we'd been presented. This is a guy who was at this point in his life willing to do whatever it took to win, right? Yeah. He's throwing illegal punches. He's elbowing people in the face. He's kneeing people. What bothered me about that was they didn't follow through with it. So my expectation for this fight at the end was he was going to get to the end, and now we get to see him fight Creed. It wasn't about who won that fight. It was about what would it cost you to win? Because now it's not just about a title fight. This guy's trying to hurt you, like cripple you. He could do permanent damage to you. And I didn't like that. Not only did that not follow through, there was no explanation as to why. I could see why he could fuck up Felix. He's like, I don't know this fucking guy. I don't like him. I don't know him. And he's, you know, I could just beat the shit out of him all day. I would understand if they gave Damien a reason to pull his punches, because this is his brother that he's known for that long. So I didn't like that. I also didn't like the fact that
you don't like that he didn't throw any illegal punches at the end.
Yeah, no illegal punches, no nothing. Because I wanted to see,
didn't even notice that
Creed have to like dig in and go after his friend who's trying to hurt him. And I thought that emotionally that would have been a better payoff, either understanding why Damien wouldn't, or seeing what it took for Creed to get out of that. I also didn't like the fact that his daughter had this issue with fighting, right? Mm-hmm. She wanted to fight, and Bianca's like, you need to talk to her. Like, it can't just be about her anger. And I would have wished that I wish that there's a moment in the movie where Damien punches Creed. And I would have loved if she had been there, because that would have explained why Creed didn't fight him back. Because 2 seconds before that, he punched the shit out of another guy just to get up to Damien. So why is he not punching him now? And it would have made more thematic sense if he didn't punch Damien in front of his daughter.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And now we would have seen like, okay, he's learning and has to teach his daughter when to fight and when not to fight. And certainly when somebody has a gun, you don't fight.
So hold on really quick. I'm going to say this right now. I am bringing it down to a B, because you're 100% about all those things. It would have been a thematically stronger movie if those were incorporated into easily. They could have easily been incorporated into the story, and they weren't. Yep. So B plus to B. Still a great movie, but B.
I still really like it, even though I felt like those things were missing, and it was frustrating to me. And what makes it that much more frustrating is the ending, right? At the end, she's still in the boxing ring, knocks him out, and she will seemingly have learned nothing, right, about what she's supposed to be doing. But now she also knows how to fight better. And so I wish they had tied those two things together better.
Damn, Jonesy, the screenwriter. I'm loving it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
No, that's good shit. That's good stuff, Jonesy.
I did not like the music. So Rocky movies to me are the fights, the montages, the music, and I could probably think of something else. To me, sitting in a theater and having the N-word dropped every 5 seconds and the song that's in the background, that doesn't inspire me. And let me tell you, sitting in a theater full of white people, that's awkward. Sitting around a bunch of Koreans, even more awkward. Right?
But they don't understand the context of that, do they?
Everybody knows what the N-word is.
Do they?
Yeah,
they do. I have no idea. Around the world, I have no idea if they do.
Yeah, they do.
Do they do?
So,
I mean, you got to think about how long Americans have been in the area at at least that, and then addition the proliferation of hip hop culture throughout the world, and they're well aware.
Inward proliferation because of music, and it's just like I don't like it, and contrast that with the first Creed, where there's a scene where he's running with the kids during the training montage. And there is the Rocky fanfare that plays, and then it goes into a newer version of the fanfare. And like, you feel the old and the new coming together. And that feels inspiring to me. So that was something I didn't care for. And there was probably something else, but this is not a movie. When I watched the first and second Creed, not only did I want to see them again, I wanted to see where the story was going to go. If this is the end of this franchise, I'm fine. But yeah, I felt like there needed to be better emotional stakes.
I like this one more than Creed 2.
Yeah.
Creed 2 was good, but I felt like the story was so... I guess I just didn't like how much it was about his ego.
Rocky. Oh.
No, about Creed's ego. About him not being able to take a loss. And obviously, that's boxers. Like, when you're an athlete like that, those are a big deal. But to me, I'm just like, oh, cry, you good-looking bitch. And it was basically what it was.
Well, what's funny about that is, still, yeah. I think that this would have been a better movie if he had lost the fight at the end.
I agree. I thought about that. At the very end, when it looked like he wasn't about to get up, I was thinking, is he going to come to some sort of revelation? It's like, maybe I don't need to take this from him. Maybe.
Because that's what his mother said, right? You find another way. And so I was trying to figure out how they were going to bring that together. I really love their scenes together, Felicia Rashad and him. But I didn't like that she was trying to say, like, find another way. And it never happened. It almost felt like we were watching different drafts of a script that got stitched together.
Interesting.
And it was just something that they got missed. But lost, I'm talking a lot. Nick Dahl.
Hold on, before you do that. I'm sorry, Nick. But hold on. He's like, I'm up. I'm like, 1 second. I do like the conversation at the end with Jonathan Majors and him. I'm happy it didn't end just with the boxing match. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they had that moment to reconnect. I really enjoyed that. And I forgot what else I was going to say. So Nick Dahl, you're up. We want your opinion.
Wait,
go.
You know what I loved before that? I loved the moment where they're looking at each other through the wall. I loved that he always knew, they always knew where each other were, like looking in the mirror, looking at each other. And through the wall, for whatever reason, was more powerful to me. Like the stop, the look. Like, I thought that was a fantastic moment.
That was
I think stuff like that is what stops me from disliking this movie outright, because it was so much like creative stuff that they had done that's not just in the absent from the Rocky franchise and hadn't been present before, but just generally striking and new. So I like that.
Yeah, it just needed a stronger, more cohesive script.
Yeah. Yep. Agree.
All right, Nick, you're up.
Okay. So I knew that we had Killmonger and Kang in this thing, but no one told me Valkyrie was in this franchise. And there was a song that referenced Wakanda, which really threw me out of it.
Was there a song?
The rap song where the lyrics is Wakanda.
Yeah. I did not know.
I was like, what? But I really enjoyed it. The length really helped it. I was looking online before I went. I'm like, oh, Jesus, the other Creed movies are over 2 hours. This one was under 2 hours, which was beautiful. It never felt like it was overstaying its welcome. The storylines I was talking about, that and the emotional, the lack of emotionality.
That's emotion.
His mother dying was like, okay, let's deal with that in a minute and toss it out. Like, she's dead. Funeral. We're done with that.
I disagree. We move on.
I felt nothing for that.
You haven't seen her since she's in the beginning of the franchise. She's
true, but like at the same time.
So Adonis Creed was basically, he grew up in a group home, and she came in, and she basically took him in, and she was also very torn because of the fact that she realized this is the kid that my husband created when he was cheating on me. And so there was that sort of conflict there. So they have that really interesting relationship between each other, like their mother and son, but also like it's almost deeper in a way.
But not, right? Like, yeah, there's some context that you're missing from two other movies. Okay. And I feel like if you had seen them, you might feel differently about it.
I was wondering about that. But also, it was just such a short part of the movie. It didn't seem to add anything to it. And then the other thing, yeah, exactly what Jonesy said about, I felt like they never paid off or never mentioned it again about the daughter fighting. Like, it was a big deal. There was a conversation about it. And then the closest they came was him teaching her how to fight and being like, but you don't fight for anger or vengeance. But there was never a real lesson with the mom around. Like, it was just like, okay, we'll drop that storyline completely.
Yeah.
I felt like he needed a better reason even to get in the ring with Dame. I don't think that they explained why he had to fight him. He's retired. He's been retired for 3 years. He has to fight him. Why? Because he beat Felix. So I would have loved if Felix's mom was like, what the fuck? So my son comes to you. He's the number one boxer in the world. He's a champion. Your friend, you let him do this. You, like, I would have been more satisfied if that was coming from her, because there was nothing internal about what was going on with Creed that made me believe that that was necessary.
I disagree. I think,
why?
I think it was,
why does he have to fight him?
Because he took it. I'm trying to think here. It's kind of like not less extreme version of Rocky IV when he killed Apollo Creed and he felt the need to sort of defend him. He sort of needed to defend his quote unquote fighter, but also there's that internal conflict. I think between those two, there was enough there that yes, they have this history and he's basically coming at it from the wrong. He's not being a good champ and he needs to get the belt stolen from him as a result. And then mix in with that his relation to Felix, and then also their overall history together. I think that's that's enough. Maybe it wasn't like directly stated enough to the point where it works, or that wasn't enough for you. But for me, I think that was like enough multiple points to where I felt like, yeah, you gotta steal that belt back. You gotta steal it from him. That's like, he's a dishonorable champ. You can't let that fly.
Also, my favorite part of the movie was when it's just the two of them fighting.
And yeah.
The crowd's like completely gone.
I loved it. I loved it.
I loved it, especially since
I spent the whole time waiting for the crowd to come back.
I mean, I did too, because I was actually curious. For the moment when it did come back. But,
getting rid of the announcers. I find the announcers cheesy as hell in a movie. Well, all the time. That's why I feel like Dodgeball has two goofy announcers in it. It's because they're making fun of sports movies where it's like, no, I'm watching a movie, not a real sporting event. I don't need two people to be talking about it. Or like the Showtime intro where it's like, Showtime, here's the fight tonight.
No, I love that.
This guy comes
from here.
So here's
what I'll say. One, that's consistent throughout this iteration of the franchise. And I really like that. What I don't like is, for whatever reason, you're right, in this particular movie, I was like, these fucking announcers are terrible. And I don't know what it was about what
they
were
distracting.
Saying that made me dislike them. Yeah, I did not like them.
That
but I did spend the whole
of...
time.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add, I spent the whole time waiting for the crowd to come back. And what I felt a little cheated, because I think we went from like round 2 to round 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what the fuck? That definitely wasn't 10 rounds of...
I mean, it was.
No. Like, them in the
it was the highlight reel.
Where
the highlight
they were.
I would have watched 12 rounds. It would have made the movie 2.5 hours.
Well, they wouldn't... Like, they don't normally do that, but...
Yeah, they do.
Why I don't like it. No.
They normally just skip it through montage form of the things going up.
Right. You get to see, like, what each consecutive round is. You see the toll. And so, again, that's my whole problem with the movie. You're not seeing what this is actually doing. Creed at the beginning of that fight and Dame at the beginning of that fight are almost the same as they are at the end of that fight. And so losing those 10 rounds, you don't get to see, like, the impact that this is having on their bodies. And I feel like up until this point, all of the movies have done a very good job of like, oh, no. This is fucking hard.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, I just want to say, back when I was watching a UFC match a while ago, a long time ago, I always remember this really stupid comment that Joe Rogan made where someone said, like, oh, that punch almost connected. And he was like, and it's the punches that connect that do the most damage. What the hell? Why was that needed?
And thus began his career of saying dumb shit.
Speaking of what Nick Dahl said, it reminded me of Jason Bateman going like, what was the comment? He's like, oh yeah, it's a bold strategy. Let's see how it does. No, that wasn't that comment. It was another comment. Oh yeah. Yeah, he will not be able to see when he was blindfolding himself.
that
moment.
I thought of you, Jammer, as I was watching this when Dame was commenting about how attractive Bianca was. He's like, you're punching. And I was like, ah,
yeah.
Jammer's line.
I thought that too.
I could probably talk about this movie for a while. I don't know that I think it's necessary. I think I agree with Jammer. Like, if you're a fan of this franchise, I do think that you will enjoy watching this. But there are some other things I'd like to talk about in relation to this. So have you all gotten your spoiler thoughts out?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I'll just say, also, if you're a Jonathan Majors fan and you're desperate for more Jonathan Majors because he's not in much, that's, you know, those like those memes where it's like, I see the movie for the plot.
Country.
I didn't finish that because Jonesy said not to finish it.
I didn't care for the ending.
I didn't care for it after episode 3.
Yeah.
Well, the meme where it's like, I watched the movie for the plot and then like shows a picture of a sexy guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically my review. Like, I watched a movie for the plot and it's a picture of a meme of Jonathan Majors is working out. Yeah.
It's funny. That reminds me of last week, literally, when I told you, you're the only person I know who watches things for actors exclusively. And you're like, no, I don't, except for this. Well, here's another example.
There's an exception to every rule. There's no such thing as absolute.
It's not an exception. It's the rule. You just think it's an exception.
So I did this for the podcast. Otherwise, I still wouldn't have seen it. This is my first Creed movie. I'm not about to jump into Creed 3 if it wasn't for the podcast.
You should watch the other ones. I think they're really good.
They are. They're great.
Those, at least in my opinion, those are definitely A movies. Let's jump into some adjacent news to this. So there's a Deadline article where Michael B. Jordan is having a conversation with an interviewer. He talks about the fact that he is interested in building a Creed universe.
Not a multiverse.
Not a multiverse.
No. Oh, well Dan, it'll be disappointed. Okay, so here's a question. Were we watching a variant? Was that Kang the Incarcerated?
Oh,
that's what I was saying. The lack of a post-credit scene with like 12 Damians was very disappointed. I want at least 12 Damians in the,
you know, they should have done. They should have just had the,
wait,
the,
did they do a post-credit scene?
No, there was, I assume not. I left.
They should have done the post-credit scene from Ant-Man and just plopped it at the end of Creed.
So on the red carpet, Jordan is talking and he says they're building the Creed universe. Building the Creed universe is something I'm really excited about. What do you all think about that? Do you all want to see more? And
yes.
What would you like to see? So we know that there's a Drago movie that's supposedly coming out.
Or series. I think it's a Drago series, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I just know spinoff. So let's call it a spinoff for now.
Okay. There's a spinoff.
What do you want?
Drago. Okay. What do I want? So when I was thinking about it, and I think this movie kind of had Creed 3 kind of had a bit of that universe feel to it, in that you got to see the opening with the villain from the first movie, and then mm-hmm. in the later half you got to see Drago come back, and throughout the movie you get to see Drago come back, and it really got to feel like this world was really crisscrossing and interconnected. It wasn't like a world where, okay, well, that villain's gone, moving on to the next one. That villain's gone, moving on to the next one. Everyone,
I think it's Wheeler, Danny Wheeler.
You mean what?
Danny Wheeler, I think that was the fighter from the first movie.
He's like, you're a false Creed, that guy. I don't remember who that was specifically.
Yeah, the guy who was fighting in the very beginning.
I don't remember his name. Yeah, I'm saying, assuming you're right. Oh, okay, cool. I don't know. My point is, I don't know his name. But taking it back to Hajime no Ippo, what I like about Hajime no Ippo is occasionally you would have arcs from the perspective of the other person. And sometimes it'd be them, like, or you'd be a mix of seeing from both perspectives and seeing them kind of go towards a collision course as they're training. And by the time you get to the fight, it's like, I don't know who I want to win because I'm equally invested in both of them. And I think seeing things kind of crisscrossing from that perspective in like a just sort of a universe of different fighters and training for each other would be cool.
Okay.
Over the course,
you reminded me of something else I didn't like about this movie. I didn't care for the montage.
Okay. I mean, you kind of hinted, you kind of hinted at that because it, which I feel like the music didn't culminate in a satisfying way like in the others.
I was specifically thinking about the opening when I was thinking about music, but the montage, I didn't buy like his dig out moment. In in all of the montages, there's a moment where they're like training, and they're kind of like, oh man, I'm tired of that. But then they've got to like fucking dig in and dig out like that extra little bit. And I just didn't feel anything.
I felt
when
personally when Drago knocked him down and he got up. I will say there was a funny moment where they were naming like how much he was damaged and stuff. Like up until that point, Michael Jordan looked totally, he looked totally normal. And then the second they're like, you're old, all of a sudden, let's get him more disheveled, give him a thicker, bushier mustache, make his hair look as he, all of a sudden he looks 10 years old just for the
montage. You know what that was? That was his Dark Knight Rises moment. That was like, oh, you got some broken metacarpals, you got this, you got that, blah, blah, blah. What do you,
that was
doing,
his Rocky
Mr.
Balboa
Wayne?
Moment.
That too.
You haven't peaked yet.
get to throw some hurting bombs. I did like that part. I liked his relationship with his trainer. I really enjoyed that. Nick Dahl. So we've got a universe to build. What do you want? You cannot say nothing.
I don't care. I don't know.
Same thing.
Here's what I'll say. I'm glad that people are still creating universes because Dark Universe was so goddamn successful. We should just keep turning everything into a universe.
Here's what I appreciate about it in this instance. With Dark Universe, they made one fucking movie and told you they were going to make a universe. Here we are, at least at the end of the third one, before he has said, like, hey, I'm going to build this into something bigger. Or like, we knew we were getting a third one of these before they even talked about making a Drago show. So they knew it at the very least that they had a successful series that had some traction that people were interested in seeing, as opposed to like, before I even see the first fucking movie, you're telling me like, yeah, they're going to be 10 more after this. Well, make me one good thing. Then I'll decide whether or not I would like to see the rest
this
of
is
your
MGM,
nine fucking movie series.
Right? Yeah, this is MGM. Yeah. Give me the Amazon original series about Jonathan Majors training just for 10
episodes. I mean, he could be included in it. That's the thing is great about this is that literally you can have a series. You can have a 20 episode series where you're kind of crisscrossing perspectives between all the villains and Creed and sort of their crisscrossing matches. I would be all over that. And because they didn't leave it at the point where Jonathan Majors' character was like, well, he's out. It was like, no, he's potentially still involved in this going forward for a little bit longer. And that's actually the
you're not out. You're out when I say you're out.
I feel bad about Creed. I'm like, I feel like we missed so much in between movies in terms of all the boxing. Cause like, in the first one, he's new. The second one, he's like really, really experienced. And this one, he's gone. It's just like, gee, we missed the whole career.
It's like
gone.
James Bond.
Yeah.
James Bond. We got Casino Royale to Skyfall. Whatever. Man, when Jonathan Majors flexes at one point, I'm like, God damn, I need to go to the gym. So, Nick, you don't want anything from this franchise? What would I want to see?
It's a sports franchise. I don't care.
It's so I disagree, and I think part of that is you're missing a lot
we're
of
saying, we're not
context.
Saying it's not a sports franchise, Nick. We're saying that there's more to it than just being about sports. That's what we're saying.
So here's what I think, and I love listening to Stallone talk about this franchise. It's a very personal franchise, and while, yes, this applies to sports, a lot of it is just about life and how much life can beat you up. And the question is, how much can you take and keep pushing
forward? How much you can get hit and keep moving forward? That's how winning is done.
1/4 mile at a time.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And so I really love that thread. It's consistent throughout all of the movies, probably except this one. This is the first one where I was like, meh, this is just like an inevitable win. So anyway,
I didn't think it was inevitable. I actually was wondering if he was going to lose. if they were going to go that route. But
nah, I didn't question it, especially when I realized that Dame was not going all in. Mm. When I noticed that he wasn't like trying to injure him, I was like, no, Creed's going to win this. It would have made me
feel the
question.
Opposite. If he had actually been more all in on the hurting, I feel like, okay, he needs to lose. Whereas since he wasn't, I'm like, maybe.
Well, I think that's okay. I could see that. I guess I just see it differently. Like, to me, it made it more inevitable that Creed was going to win because Dame wasn't trying to hurt him.
Interesting. So anyway, what do you want from a universe of Creed?
I agree that I would like to see Jonathan Majors come back. I think he is a character that is due for some redemption. And I think now that he is gone to the bottom again, I think it would be fun to see some more of him. And because they've talked about his age multiple times, it could be a limited series. You know, yeah, just the idea, like, he's an older guy and let's see what happens when he's on his way out. That would be one. If I wanted to see Drago, like, I would have wanted to see more from him in this movie. Like, I like that they brought him back, but I didn't get enough from him to feel like I wanted to see more of him.
I'll see more of him. I liked what we had of him, even though it wasn't that much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's fine, but I didn't go like, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, anyway. Guys ready to move on?
Yes.
Move on.
All right, let's do some quick hits. Star Trek. We've got two pieces of Star Trek news. Which would you like to cover first?
Star Trek 4 is the order I put it in for Kyle's sake.
All right. We got some Star Trek 4. Chris Pine. Welcome, Kyle. was doing some interviews. And during that interview, he talked about the franchise. He said, I don't know anything. He said, I know there are some costume designers that have read scripts before the actors. He talked about the fact that after the death of Anton Yelchin and just like the stumbling of Star Trek 4, it seems like the franchise is cursed.
It's always felt that.
Certainly from you have?
No, I mean, I've always felt that that's been cursed. I mean, thinking about like how long it always takes for things to get going in the Star Trek movie realm, with the exception of Beyond. No, not Beyond. Into Darkness. I just feel like it's like pulling teeth to get a movie made.
Well, part of that is, and Chris Pine addressed this, it is the economics of a Star Trek movie, right? They do have a rabid fan base, but it is not a let's spend $150 million on a movie rabid. It should be. That's their fucking fault. But yeah. So I'll give my thoughts on this first. I hear what he's saying. I don't know that I think that the franchise itself is cursed. Manny talked about this in our Discord, and I agree to some extent. This is a franchise that thrives on the small screen. Even Star Wars, which I think we would say is one of those, like, let's spend $100 or $150 million on a movie and it will thrive. In my impression, is doing better on television. I think that long format benefits the storytelling. So, you know, I am less excited for anything that J.J. Abrams has to offer this franchise, because there is a quote somewhere from him where he talks about like he's got a good script and blah, blah, blah. But I'm not all that excited to see it. But let's hear what you guys think.
Well, I actually came to the same revelation during COVID as what Manny brought up about it working better as a series, because that's COVID. You know, I had a lot of time. My parents got CBS All Access back, which is what it was called back then. And I started watching the new Treks. I'm like, oh my God, this is better than Star Wars. And the reason it's better than Star Wars is you actually have time to spend with the characters. And like, you get to meet everyone on the, I mean, Discovery is do the best job of this, but you get like, you meet everyone on the bridge, maybe some other, you know, the doctor you get to know really well. So I was saying Discovery doesn't do a good, no.
Oh, okay. But, you said doesn't,
yeah, Discovery
do a good job.
Doesn't do that okay. As good as some of the other series do. Like, I've been watching Next Gen ever since I watched Picard episode 2. So yeah, I agree with that too. At the same time, I just love the cast of the Star Trek movies. So I just want to see those guys together again. Carl Urban, Zachary Quinto, and Chris Pine, especially. It's just that's a fun group. Yeah. I've always thought she's been too involved, just based on the formula of the original series. It's supposed to be about Kirk, Spock,
I agree. And Bones, and they kind of push. Have less women. I agree.
It's not what I meant, but that's exactly why she has a bigger role. That's exactly why she has a bigger role, is it's a forced thing.
Whereas, I see. So she's a token. It's affirmative action.
Wow. That's what it feels like, considering the formula of the original series is the three of them and their triumvirate, whatever the word is. It's about the trio. Kirk is torn on one, Spock's on one shoulder, Bones is on the other shoulder, and Kirk's kind of in the middle, and they lost that completely in the first two Star Trek
carefully,
movies.
Nick. Basically, what it sounds like is, like, anything change that isn't exactly what it was decades ago is forced diversity. If you're gonna lose that dynamic,
then just make up a new crew. It's not Kirk, Spock, and Bones with that dynamic.
Why?
Bones is, like, so shelved in the first two movies. It's like you lose the whole point
of
Kirk.
Bones is pretty involved in that first movie. I'm not gonna lie.
Not that much.
Okay.
The shirt. That's supposed to be important.
I don't know what the shirt was supposed to prove, Nick. I don't know what you
Kirk,
were proving with
Spock,
the shirt.
Bones, on the shirt.
Okay.
It's always been about that trio, but that's what I said. I love the cast. And yeah, you know, Zoe Saldana, Simon Pegg, John Cho.
I know his name. I know the cast. I think it's.
But, yeah, I want. That's the main reason I would want.
Sorry to break in real quick, but Danny did just try to join, but then he dropped off. I'm not sure if he was.
He probably tried to join at normal time, not knowing the time
or something.
He didn't pay attention, just like Jammer, on all the messages.
I paid attention yesterday. You guys had a whole conversation.
Yeah. TLDR.
So I hear what you're saying, Nick. Again, you're lucky it's not Black History Month anymore.
It's Women's Month now, or whatever. So
it's even it's almost worse.
Yeah, it's almost worse. It is.
So anyway, I don't want to see anything from J.J. Abrams as it relates to this franchise. I would like to see them wrap up this franchise with these characters, this iteration of these folks. But if that never happens, I'm fine with what we've got on television, specifically, you know, what we're going to see in the wrap up of Discovery and what we've got with Lower Decks and the new
Strange
Kid on
new
the Block, Strange New World. So all that to say, if you guys don't have anything else, we can move on to the final story.
Let's keep tracking.
All right. Let's keep tracking. Star Trek Discovery is no longer going to track. So the fifth season, or Discover. Hadn't figured out how to discover how to use its current setting well. So launched in 2017. I mean, that is my biggest frustration with Discovery. I felt like they moved away from where they were in the timeline to the future to avoid timeline issues, and then they never made full use of their setting. So that's been my frustration. Anyway, so this series is going to come to a close at the fifth season, and they've actually pushed the premiere of the franchise. I don't know when it was originally supposed to come out, but they moved
this year
it to
at some point, for sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We have a teaser from it.
Yeah, like I remember that.
Yeah.
Should go back and look at that. I should have done that, but whatever. So yeah, this is going to be the end, and you know, we've talked about diversity as it relates to the films. Star Trek Discovery was, you know, it was all about the LGBTQ plus community and putting those folks to the front of the franchise. And, you know, for better or worse, like, that franchise did well because of that. It opened up whole new demographics of folks that were interested in it. So, but that all that said, Nick, I know you're sad about it closing. I'm fine with this. This is fine. But Nick, tell me why you're sad about Discovery going on.
I am fine that you would, you know, we don't need to spend nine seasons. How many is Next Gen? Nine seasons, I think. We don't need to spend seven seasons with every, you know, group. But it just worries me. The article mentions that it's kind of, you know, it's Kyle will love this. It's a Paramount Plus coming to the realization that you have to budget, you have to like people who watch it versus how much shows you're paying for. So, I would hope that this is why it worries me. Just like Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, it's the flagship Star Trek show right now. And by getting rid of it, I hope we're not losing. We're not going to see the cancellation of more Trek shows. Obviously, Picard's coming to its natural end. I'd like a spinoff about Riker. Or not a spinoff, but a sequel show with Riker or something.
No.
Riker's way better than Picard. He's been the best part of season 3.
No, but I mean, move on. Like, don't make another show about a fucking octogenarian. Like, make a new show. I agree with you and I disagree with you. Here's where I disagree. And Kyle made me think of Babylon 5 today. It is entirely possible to tell a tight and fantastic story in 5 seasons, right?
Yeah.
That is Babylon 5. And so I'm okay with if when we start these shows, like, we know that's all we're going to get. I feel better knowing that there's a beginning, middle, and end to these shows rather than the idea, like, are we going to get a season 4? I don't know. It depends on, like, I don't like that.
And it sounds like there's lots of reshoots going on to make this feel like the final season. The article kind of mentioned the reshoots are started after the announcement, or, you know, when they decided, and it wasn't decided when they released the trailer or did the original shoot. But yeah, I just hope it doesn't isn't a cascading event or like a sign that people don't like Trek and we're just going to make less Trek shows. Because this is the golden age of Trek. I know that I'm catching up on the other golden age when they were like unlimited. Like, there's always at least one series going, if not two at the same time with Deep Space Nine. But yeah.
Well, the best part about that is you have literally hundreds of episodes to watch.
It's true. I'm towards the end of season 3 of Next Gen. So I've been loving it.
3 more series to go after that before you even jump to now. So you've got your Deep Space Nine, you've got Voyager, you've got Enterprise.
Excited for Deep Space Nine. Don't know anything about Voyager. Dreading Enterprise, but yeah,
I don't think it's happening.
I'll watch it all.
I did not finish Enterprise, just so you know.
There you go.
So, Danny K. Bartlett, you have joined the show. Would you like to give your thoughts on Creed before we shuffle off this mortal coil of podcasting?
Well,
not life.
Well, hold on. How late am I? 7:15.
An hour.
I've got. Have you changed times again?
No. Yeah, we just did it an hour earlier this week.
Well, which one of you muddy funsters was going to tell me?
It was all in the chat.
Fuck.
Sorry, Danny.
Should have added.
What's your letter grade? What's your letter grade on Creed?
C+.
C okay. plus.
What's your Twitter review?
Yeah. My Twitter review. Nice to see some originality to a very unoriginal story. There was a few things that made it seem new and fresh to me, and I don't mind that when we're rehashing things. But there was also a lot of it that seemed rushed to me. How the fights got organized. How the rivalry was played out. There was a few. I've got a few faults with it, but it was nice to see some originality from a very well trod story. It wasn't fantastic to me. We've seen that story before. Is my point. It was nice to see some original things, like the jumping of the fight scene where everything disappeared. And it was just those two. That was a really nice take on, you know, Jonesy just Robert like just going that. Through the rounds and seeing people punch stuff. All that was fantastic. But again, it was just like Rocky 3, but without certain things. It was the same story, but without certain things. So rehashed, fine. Nice to see something original, but just a C+ for me.
I do have a question for Danny now about Creed. So next week, I'm also going to ask Kyle about the SEO later for it, but 65 worth seeing?
No shit.
So we should maybe do Scream 6 next week.
Oh. I tell you what, here's my Twitter review, and this really will be a Twitter. Can anyone tell me what the name of that Will Smith film was that had his son?
Oh,
in
God,
it?
After Earth.
Okay,
oh,
Twitter
no.
review.
Oh,
Will Smith. It's better than After Earth.
Oh, that's no. It. Sounds like a Moonfall.
I mean,
no, it's not that bad. I stayed. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Oh, God, no. It's
maybe just, we will do Scream 6 then.
It's better than the Will Smith one. I see. You've just told me the title and I've already forgotten it again. Whatever.
After Earth.
Thank you. It's M. Night Shyamalan. Better than that. It's better than that. All right. No, don't bother, guys. Save your money.
What's your letter grade for 65?
D minus.
God damn.
Yeah.
Call that dog
shit. Damn it.
All right.
I'm like, well, finally, I'm a glad, franchise that's I'm not Jurassic to, Park.
I'm not going to lie. When you're always saying like 65, I'm just like, I don't know. I got the same feelings I got when everyone's like, let's watch Cocaine Bear. And I'm like, I don't want to watch Cocaine Bear. I think I know what I'm getting with that. I felt the same way with 65. So I'm happy we're dodging that.
Jammer's all in on a franchise he's only seen one movie of then. Cause...
Scream? I've seen three of those.
Oh, nice.
No. Yeah, three. I saw the first
one. I've seen all of them.
I have not seen all of them. I missed 4 and 5 in the series. Scream the series.
I did not. Oh, okay, count. No, that doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Five's important, though. Apparently 4 is, too. I need to watch 4 because the character's coming back from that.
I have no idea what any of them... I don't remember. So I know I've seen them all. I don't remember what number is what.
I don't think it matters. They're all the same.
The last one was just Scream. But that was intentional.
I did not like the last one.
I did.
I thought the sixth one had a good trailer. Yeah. I like the trailer for that one.
And on that note,
Space takes New York.
You guys ready to shut it down? Shut it down.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for joining, right, Danny. Dear listener.
No, another hour. I demand another hour.
That's what the audience says.
No.
Carl is like, no.
So, dear listener, if you like what you heard, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would certainly appreciate it. Also, LRM Online and the Genreverse have other great reading and listening and watching material for you on their respective websites.
Website, Draggy?
Website, yeah.
Speaking of Scream and Matthew Lillard.
Listen, guys, it's 12:30 here. It's 12:30. It's fucking late. Yeah, so, gents, they know where they can find you.
Yeah.
So
it's all below. If
we'll
you're watching
catch you on the
YouTube.
Next one. Yeah. We'll catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Mission delayed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.